so I just wanted to ask you guys, do you guys know what multilingual marketing is before I start? Can you raise your hand if you know what it is? Perfect. Okay, my goal by the end of today is that you guys will know what it is, you will know why it's useful, and you will know how to implement it. So let me get started. Perfect. This is me. I am a marketing nerd. I am the social media manager at DB Schenker. I have a BBA and MBA in marketing. I lived abroad twice, so I'm obsessed with other cultures and learning about them. I love cooking different foods and stuff like that, so I try to understand other cultures and stuff like that. I am born and raised in New Orleans, Louisiana. So coming from a multicultural background, I totally understand why it's useful for marketing purposes. And then also, coming from New Orleans, we tend to ramble, first of all, so please stop me if I'm talking too fast or too long. And also, we love welcoming people. And to me, social media is all about customer service. We have to make the page welcoming to people and make sure that they feel comfortable on the page. So a wise man once said, if you talk to a man in a language that he knows, that goes to his head. However, if you talk to him in a language that is his language, it goes to his heart. So the whole purpose of this is to basically talk to your customers in their native tongue so that they understand you more, they connect with the brand, and there's more brand loyalty there. So multilingual social media is an area of social media that allows for a brand or company to connect with the consumer in their native tongue on a deeper level. So the Harvard Business Review, they did a study in 2017, and they found that 72.1% of consumers spent most of their time on websites in their own language. That says a lot, because basically you guys should be talking to customers in their language because they're more apt to spend time on your site, which can lead to customer retention and acquisition and stuff like that. Also, 72.4% of consumers said that they would be more likely to buy a product with information in their own language. So if you have a website, a blog, or social media channels that are in their native tongue, they're more apt to buy from you. So just keep all of that in mind. So Facebook also did a study in 2017, and they said that 42% of Facebook users worldwide selected English, US, and UK as their main language. That's actually pretty bad. I don't know if anybody realizes that, but there's 58% of the market that does not speak that language that you should be targeting, realistically. As somebody who speaks a second language, I prefer to speak in my native tongue, which is English. So if I am sitting there having to translate it back to my native tongue or trying to figure it out, I'm not really apt to be on that site for that long. I prefer to go to a brand that can speak to me in my native tongue. Also, 80% of Hispanics said that seeing ads in Spanish versus English increased their interest in purchasing a product. Right now, Hispanic population, there's 17% in the U.S. today. In 2020, they expect for it to be 26%. It's a growing market, and we need to learn how to speak that language or speak to them in that language so that we can get their dollars. They have a very large spending power, and we need to keep that in mind when doing this. So those are the stats behind multilingual marketing and social media. I am now going to tell you the benefits of it. So the benefits of it is that your organization will have a much larger reach. When I first started at my company, I'm responsible for social media in 10 countries and 3 different languages. 8 of those 10 countries do not speak English, and my company only spoke to them in English. So that was a big market, a very big area that was missing. So when you speak to customers in their native tongue, you expand languages, you have a much larger reach for that market. So it's something to keep in mind. Another thing is SEO. A lot of people are concerned about SEO mainly when it comes to English, but you also need to keep in mind about SEO in other languages, in Spanish and Portuguese. If you have a blog that can easily be translated to Spanish or Portuguese, that's a great landing page for them to go to and to get more website traffic. Also, as I mentioned from the stats, English is decreasing. We have other languages that are up-and-comers, Chinese, Spanish, Arabic, Portuguese. Those are languages that you will eventually have to adapt to and learn to post or learn to translate websites and stuff in those languages. Also, the consumer preference. they like to speak in their native tongue. They like to buy in their native tongue. So it's better if you have that for them. So we've been through the stats and the actual benefits. And you're telling me, Christine, okay, I really want to start doing this. What can I do now? The things that I asked myself before I launched the multilingual portion of our social media was I asked about resources. Do we have the actual resources to have this content? Do we have enough to post? For English social media, you know, a lot of people say post daily, post daily, post daily. That's great, but if you do it in Spanish and Portuguese, you should treat it the same. You should also be posting daily in those languages. You can't post one day in Spanish and then 3 weeks later you post in Spanish again. It does not show, it doesn't really look good for consistency purposes. Also, can you adjust to potential growth? When I started, we started doing it in Portuguese and in Spanish, and very quickly our following almost doubled within a couple of weeks in those markets. So I had to have people in place who could translate for me, who could create those graphics, create those videos that could sustain that actual growth. So keep that in mind. It's our goal to definitely have that, to have growth for your channels, but you need to make sure that you have the proper people in place to actually handle that growth. Also, from the market perspective, you need to see if your business actually has a multilingual market. You might not. You might just be a U.S. business that only speaks English, but you might have a market somewhere else. So think about that before you launch. Also, another thing to think about is, do I have time? You have to launch a multilingual social media strategy, first of all. Then you have to implement it. Then another thing that people don't think about is crisis communications. So for us, when you post in multiple languages, that opens you up to risk, legal risk, HR risk, other types of risk. So you need to think about what's the best way to respond to that with crisis comm. We have a plan in place in all of our languages because one day something in Rio might happen and we have to quickly respond to that. So you need to make sure that you have everything in place, properly translated, and ready to go for that. So you've been through all the questions. You decide you're still going to move forward. The things that I did prior to launch was I used analytics. Facebook analytics are very good for this. We also have other tools that we use, but you need to see which markets are best for you. For us, it was Spanish and Portuguese as our languages, and we're actually looking at expanding to French next year just to have that as well. So those analytics can show you basically what you need to do or where you need to target and the languages to use. Another thing that I think people confuse a lot is that multicultural marketing and multilingual marketing are like sisters, brothers. They're it's family, and it's absolutely useful. You cannot have one without the other. So while you're doing multilingual social media, you need to understand the culture of your customer. For instance, today is Labor Day in Brazil and in Venezuela and Colombia. So today I had to figure out what we're going to do for posting. How are we going to celebrate that day? For them, it's very family-oriented compared to Labor Day in the U.S. So kind of talking about, please have a great time today with your family, stuff like that. Please share pictures. You need to understand the culture of the actual country along with posting in their native tongue. So localization is very important when it comes to this. Another thing is to be consistent. Our tone has to remain the same in multiple languages. So if you're witty in English, you have to be witty in Spanish. You cannot have two different tones, two different voices for your page. Also, what we did was we translated all hashtags. We translated any quote or tagline that we typically use. You need to have a style guide and something in place so that it will translate perfectly and it looks very consistent for your brand. Sorry, I feel like I'm rambling. So another thing to have is structure. For us, a really big thing was tracking mechanisms. How are we going to assess what success looks like? How are we going to see, what's our process? For me, we developed a SOP, which is standard operating procedures. And we literally built everything out step by step by step. Who's responsible for what? What deadlines are needed? Some of this might take 2 weeks out. It just depends how long and how you want to go about this process. But I think the best thing to do after that is to create a structure for it. Now, this becomes a little tricky for the next point. A lot of people will tell me they don't have an actual budget for translators, and translators are very pricey. I'm very fortunate that with my team, we have a lot of native speakers on staff, so they're able to translate. I will say, though, for us, one thing that did happen was I have a Peruvian guy that works for me, a Mexican guy, and a Cuban guy, and we translated the same thing, and they all had different translations, and they're all native speakers. So for us, we had to decide which dialect of Spanish to use, and from there, that's how we basically adapted everything. So you need to keep that in mind as well. While what might be native to one person might not translate well to somebody else. Another thing that happened for us was that we have offices in Lisbon, Portugal. So they used our content from Brazil and said, oh, it's Portuguese. We're going to use it. We're going to post it. And it was a complete disaster. It did not translate over as well as you would think. So make sure it's geared towards your market. While Portuguese is, you know, basically the same, there's different dialects. So make sure that if you are speaking Portuguese, you're doing the Brazilian market. Or if you're speaking Portuguese, you're doing the Portuguese market in Portugal. So think about stuff like that. Another tip or warning, do not under any circumstances use Google Translate. It is like a complete and utter disaster. That's all I can say. I use it sometimes as a dictionary of sorts, but you do not translate phrases on there. Just trust me. Don't do it. for us, it has caused problems where people put paragraphs in there. It's not translated over properly. Also, I don't know what industries you guys are in, but there's certain terminology that you can that will not translate over. Like, you have to use definitions. For us, a big one was break bulk, and it did not translate over in any language. So we had to basically define it when we were writing about it versus using the term break bulk, which we would use in English. So something to consider. Another thing that I use for my English posts and all of the other ones is having a actual arsenal of content for about 3 months out. You need that because some days you might not have anything to post. You might not really feel like posting or whatever the case is. You need to make sure that there's enough content for 90 days, in my personal opinion. So before you launch, I would have all that put together. So for me, I was given, like, I don't even know how to describe it. It was like a DIY budget to basically do this entire multilingual campaign. The multilingual thing we had to do was translate our websites, our blogs, and do social media. And that was a very minimal budget that I was given. So I don't know what you guys have as far as your budget goes, but I'm going to tell you ways that you can do this with a very limited budget. So repeat after me. I solemnly swear to honor thy customer. This goes back to marketing 101. You basically have to know who your customer is, who your target market is, how you're going to reach them, what their pain points are, what their needs are. And then from there, it will definitely reduce the cost of getting the customer to stay and to come. So it's something that you really need to understand before you move forward with that. Another thing is to use thy team. My team, they are great. They where I am weak, they are strong, and vice versa. So I can leverage them for their translating, or they can leverage me for graphics. It just depends. But use your team first prior to outsourcing. If you have to outsource, that's fine. But that should be your absolute last resort if you're trying to save funds, basically. Another thing that I did was we moved our graphics in-house, and that freed up money for us to translate our website. So think about ways you can finagle your budget, your time, stuff like that, to basically free up areas for things that you can do as far as the multilingual approach goes. Okay, target posts. So for us, it depends on the pages. We might have a parent page where all 10 countries live under. So I'm not going to post something in English and have it go out to everybody. I post it and I target it to that region, to that country, to that language. It makes it a better time for your customer when they are on the site. So they, I don't know how to word it, but it's more of a personalized approach for them, and they will feel more welcome and like this page is actually meant for them and it was targeting them and their needs versus a free for all kind of. Also, listen and adjust. I was telling my team this the other day. I'm from New Orleans, and my mom makes a really good gumbo. Like, it's really good. But she does not like spicy food, which is not a typical New Orleanian. So I will adjust her recipe to fit my needs, and I will make it super spicy. Whereas my cousin is vegan, and she'll take out all the meat of it. But it'll taste great, but she will adjust that recipe to meet her needs. So while multilingual social media is great, you need to make sure that it meets your needs. It touches what you are trying to accomplish. So listen to it. Adjust it. Things change. Things happen. Just make sure that you're constantly listening and seeing what's happening. Another thing to do is to track results. As I mentioned, I was given a very, very limited budget when I first started, and our page grew. We were under 1,000 followers when I first started, and now we're at 45,000, and I make my year next month. So our page grew at rapid speed, and with that, I was able to take those stats and present them to my vice president and say, hey, like, this is what happened. This is how many clicks we got. This is how many people came to our site. These people went to the HR site, so they're interested in company culture also, not just sales. I need more money. Like, think what I could do with more money. And they actually gave it to me. So just think about that as well. Like, you might have a very limited budget the first year. Granted, I'm not, like, super rich now with this budget, but you can definitely, like, use more following that. So just think about that as well with your ROI and stuff like that. So I've been talking a lot, so I want you guys to talk. So I have three brands that I found that I thought did a really great job at multilingual social media, and I would like for you guys to tell me why. I don't know if anybody's shy or not, but the first one is Coke Brazil. Basically, what they did was they had this graphic. In 2009, they basically are saying that they recycle all their cans. So what you're drinking in 2009, you might be drinking today, like the actual can. So can you tell me why this was a good post? No? Okay. So from...
Anybody? Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I mean, not only is the text translated, but the graphic is translated too. They paid attention to the whole detail.
Yeah, that's right. Were you going to say something as well? Yeah, so that particular graphic was definitely translated. As you can see, though, it's very limited text as well. So what was translated can be translated to Portuguese and Spanish, and so that graphic can be reused. So they're not really, like, generating new content per se. They're sharing, and that's really good that they have the Portuguese side and the Spanish side. So just think about that as well. You don't have to recreate your own graphics. You can just have something very simple like that. It doesn't have too much text, and you can reuse it for other countries or other areas. The next one, Spotify. Does anybody know why this is actually a really good page? No? Yes.
Well, I like it.
Yeah, you're actually 100% correct. The reason why this page is, to me, really good is because of their help page. The help page is in Spanish. When you do social media and when you are going this route, you need to make sure that everything is translated. So I've seen brands that have pages in Spanish, and then the help page will be in English. Why? Like, why are you, like, when you are going to do something, you need to do it fully. So for Spotify, it was nice that their help page was in Spanish. Like he said, it was tagged. It made it feel more welcoming to those speakers, because if they have any questions, they can speak in their native tongue for help. So that's just something also to think about. So my last one is Lululemon France. This one's a little tricky, but can somebody tell me? Okay, do not worry about the actual post. It's talking about just people who are, like, what's what I'm looking for? It's influencers basically discussing why they wear the brand. The post is not what I'm concerned about. Yes. Correct. Localization. So basically, Lululemon is a Canadian company, which is great, and they could put a Canadian picture there and like have the French text. But what they did was they took that approach and they have a actual image in France. So it speaks to the actual client as well. So I think I spoke a little fast, but I'm done. So you feel free to follow me or ask me questions or anything like that. Do you have any questions at the moment? I ran through it very quickly. I tend to speak quickly.
Yep, if anybody has any questions.
How did you find the process for doing the – it sounded like you set up Facebook parent-child relationships. Is that working well for you? Like, I have a client who's interested in doing the same thing right now, and they've got a lot of questions about, you know, how the infrastructure is going to work, how easy it will be to use, basically talking through all the same challenges that you're highlighting here. Mm-hmm. So I'm just interested in your experience doing it that way.
Yeah, so we've done it both ways. So I can tell you from so my counterpart in Europe, they have 17 countries that they're responsible for, and they decided to do 17 different channels for everything. And it worked well for them because there's so many languages, and there's so and it worked well for that. For my particular region, I oversee content from Canada to Argentina. So for me, it doesn't really make sense. But as far as how it works, we target all of our posts. So we target it to that country, to that language, so nobody in the U.S. would see it. It's actually pretty nice to me because it houses all of our followers versus having multiple pages that you would need to man or run and stuff like that. Europe, it works well for them because that's a different market, and so it just depends. I don't know where your client is, but it just kind of depends on that.
So along those lines, we have a challenge with LinkedIn because we have one site that hosts the whole company, mm-hmm. but our headquarters are in France, mm-hmm. but we do the marketing out of the U.S. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we will post something that is targeted to the U.S. market, but because some of the connections that we have on LinkedIn are the same, or they are followers that they liked it or they reshare or something, then we get a little bit of negative comments from France saying, why did you post that? And we're like, well, we didn't post it for France. We posted it for the U.S. So it's very tricky for us when we post something, especially if it's very cultural or, like you say, the 1st of May, you know, they have Labor Day. We have it later in the year, whatever. Mm-hmm. That they're like, oh, you're off schedule or you got something wrong or why are you putting that? That's lame or that's too whatever. So I don't know if you've run into that situation.
We haven't run into it that much. We are a German company, but the language they use is English. So we don't really run into it that often. The thing I would recommend that we do have sometimes, mainly with the Portuguese, because people in Portugal will be like, this is bad grammar or something like, you know, like you guys aren't doing this correctly. So I would maybe like write, we have like little like predefined posts or comments basically saying like, oh, thank you so much for following. This was actually intended for this audience, but for more info, please follow this post or like this post might be of interest to you. So kind of redirecting them to their native tongue and telling them that. But that's what we've done in the past, but we haven't gotten it too much because of, that's, and they comment publicly?
No, they will tell us internally.
Oh, okay. But it's actually good for your reach because if somebody's liking it and you'll get more impressions on that versus, I mean, I would just maybe just tell them, like, this is what's going on or via email. For LinkedIn, there's a way to target by country and by language manually. So that's the only.
Sorry, this will be quick. Just going off of that. So for LinkedIn, then what we've run into is that you'll see in our feed different languages. Like, is there a way to
Are you on the admin side of the feed? Or are you on the.
On,
because for the admin side, I see everything, like for the feed. But if I'm on,
so it's the admin side. Okay.
Okay. If you're viewing it as a member, because my language is English, I never see the Portuguese posts. And I'm like looking, and I'm like, where are they? And I'm like, oh, I don't speak Portuguese. That's why like LinkedIn did that. But for me, if I'm on the admin side, I see literally everything. I can show you after if you want to like go Perfect. Through it. And yeah. No problem. If she had a question.
Thank you. Hi. I have a question. When it comes to a public figure, what would you recommend? When would be a good time to switch and to have, for example, two accounts? Right now, for example, I work for Cardinal Supich, mm-hmm. The Archbishop of Chicago, and he has more than 20,000 followers. We are posting in English and Spanish on the same account. Mm-hmm. When would it actually make sense to create a Spanish speaking account?
I don't know if it would make sense. To be perfectly honest with you, I follow Selma Hayek. I love her. And she has millions of followers. And she posts, like, the first post is in English, and then she'll have, like, little dot, dot, dot or something. And then under it will be Spanish. So it's kind of to get both markets there. I think that if you separate the pages, you probably would be losing a little bit of your followers and the market. It would be,
Okay, that's what I thought. Thank you.
No problem.
Any other questions? We have plenty of time.
Sorry, I speak really quickly. Yes.
So we just switched from having multiple accounts to having one account because we ran into the issue where we would post once every other week on some of these other channels.
Yeah.
So can you talk a little bit about your process from a translation standpoint? So I know you have a bank of about 90 days worth of content, but how fast do you expect your team to turn around in the moment, decisions you make that you need to post something today or tomorrow? Where we struggle is we work with our local teams in those countries to translate. And obviously with time differences and workloads and things like that, we can get behind the eight ball a little bit, and it takes a little bit longer than we wanted to. So talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, so I actually created an SOP because some people, I think that it's nice that they can speak that language and they can translate. But translating is actually very time consuming and very boring, to be perfectly honest with you. And people, it gets frustrating. For us, it became problematic because other countries were saying, like, okay, this person needs to translate this now. And it's like, no, like, you need to make sure, like, you need to be very sensitive and, like, aware of other people's time. So I created a SOP for blog posts, which is, like, about 1,200 words. I give them 2 weeks to translate, and that'll be a good turnaround. For social media posts, I give them a week. If it's something urgent, you have to just do it then and there. For time differences, what countries do you operate out of?
Kind of all over. So UK, we're down in Brazil, Australia, New Zealand, pretty much every time zone.
Because what we do, for instance, we have offices in Spain. And what we do is if something urgent and they are sleeping or something, I'm basically there. I'm awake and somebody from my team will translate and vice versa. So kind of having like a backup plan as well is like, is there somebody on the other side that can do that maybe while you guys are gone or whatever the case is. So like basically leveraging those other countries. Those countries aren't part of my particular region, but we built nice relationships with them to where it's kind of like we'll have your back, you have our back type thing if it's something super pressing and urgent. But